it's good to be back. It was weird not to be here with you last week. It was good to be with my dad. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but it was weird not to be here. This has truly become home, and we are so glad to be here. Now, I will readily admit that growing up, I didn't get to spend a lot of time fishing. I know, right? But throughout my life, I've had various opportunities to learn to fish. In fact, some of my favorite memories in my life take me back to moments of fishing. I mean, I can think of a moment, and it's a long story, and so I won't share it with you all the way. But fishing with my dad in this boat in the middle of this huge lake in Northern Cal, we were fishing for trout and back and forth and issues and different things, hilarious moments. Fishing with my son and my kids on a dock in East Texas. Some of my absolute favorite moments are on that dock. And I have a picture that's just absolutely precious to me of me and my son sitting on the edge of that dock fishing. But, you know, even though I've owned a bit of gear and I've had successes at various times, no one would consider me the fisherman. Okay, I mean, especially those that have gone fishing with me here, you can ask them. Nobody would come to me to learn how to fish, at least in these areas, because there's so many others that are so much more knowledgeable of what to take and what to use and, you know, the habits and the areas to go to. You know, but even though I'm not what many would call a fisherman, I do know that a fishing story is supposed to be flattering, at least to the fishermen. Fishermen want to talk about that monster fish that they caught. They're even willing to talk about that bigger fish that just got away. You know, they want to talk about the bait that they use that just makes those fish jump on the hook. But the Bible tells a different kind of fishing story. It tells of a story about fishermen who come up empty after fishing all night long, that are exhausted, and they encounter this carpenter who takes over a boat, preaches a sermon, and then tells them where to go fish. After hundreds of pounds of fish are caught, the story says that the fishermen immediately resigned from fishing for tilapia and instead began fishing for people. It's a different kind of fishing story. And so this morning I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5 as we kind of dive into this story this morning. But prior to this fishing event, I think it's important to note that this isn't the first time that these men have encountered Jesus. These fishermen you can look in Luke chapter 4 and you'll see that Jesus has been to Simon's house. He's encountered in chapter 4, you see that he heals in Capernaum, in Simon's house, his mother-in-law. And that in the passage, there's not a change in location noted. And so we can assume that it's in that house or in that exact vicinity of that house that he encounters in the story that Jesus heals all these sick and demon-possessed that are brought to him. And so it's not until verse 42 that Jesus departs. And we encounter in chapter 5 this story. It says, one day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. We just call it the Sea of Galilee, okay? The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. May God bless the reading of his word. It seems that there's a lot going on in this story. Maybe one of the biggest lessons that I'd like to share this morning, though, is from this story is why some people don't catch fish. And one of the biggest lessons that we can find why people don't catch fish is that they refuse to go into the deep water. They refuse to get deep. I mean, Jesus tells Simon Peter, "Let's leave the shallows and go to the deep." More knowledgeable fishermen than I will tell you that the big fish are in deeper water. And the first rule of fishing is that you go to where the fish are. But we shouldn't limit this to fish only. Because Jesus is teaching a spiritual principle here. In fact, we could substitute fish for any number of different things. We could substitute it for blessing or wisdom or love or healing or peace. And all these things, we want abundance. We don't want just one. We want lots. But some people don't catch these things because they refuse to go deep. The thing about it is that deep water is where the increase is. And deep water takes faith. And deep water is a risk, because it's in the deep water that you have to focus your mind and you have to focus your heart. And we sang about that in the song this morning. The reason we have to have that focus is because deep water is where it seems like it's next to nothing. Instead, you've got to trust the words. You've got to trust the directions of others who have been through the deep water before. And as our guide, Jesus is always inviting people into the deeper end of things. Now, many are very content with shallow water, because things are easier there. I mean, think about it. Shallow water's pleasant. It tickles our ankles when we walk in it. The minnows and the little half-grown fish are there. That's where they gather. And you can see it all the way down to the bottom if you're in shallow water. There's this sense of security that happens when you're not in the deep depths. But as a result, there becomes this temptation in our lives to stay in shallow water, because it doesn't require much. It doesn't take a whole lot of courage to get in ankle deep. But Simon knew that the minnows weren't going to feed him. They weren't going to satisfy him. Minnows weren't what his heart desired. But in the deep water of faith, that's where those things that we want are really swimming around. And so, I mean, to think about it, the shallow area is where we begin our journey and our adventure, not where we finish. Think about it. I mean, there's a time for classes and listening and learning, and there's a time to actually put it into practice. There's a time in life to receive, and there's a time to give sacrificially. There's a time for the church to gather and to worship in the building that we call the church. And then there's a whole different time that we're to take what we've learned and what we've gathered and what God has challenged us to do, and to step out of the building and put it into practice, that we would teach the world around us what it is to worship God. We have to get into the deep water if we want to go where God is leading us to grow. And yet it isn't just the deep water that some people don't catch fish. It's also because they don't expect to catch anything. When Jesus tells Simon, "Let's go to the deep water," he doesn't just stop with those instructions. He says, "And prepare for a catch." And you realize there's a difference between fishing and catching. Jesus is looking at the end understanding of what can be accomplished and what will be accomplished. And it's an encouraging statement. It's not that, well, we'll try. We'll sink some hooks. Prepare for a catch. Prepare for the inevitable of what I'm going to do. We're going to see what's out there, and we're going to be successful. So for those of us that are in the church regularly, this is a challenging word. Because week after week, we may go into the deep water of worship. But do we go preparing? Do we go expecting to catch something? Do we expect what the Holy Spirit can do? Do we go believing that a blessing is just there waiting for us if we would allow God to challenge us? Or do we go to please a spouse or to be seen by others? Or worse, just do we go out of habit? Because throughout Scripture, we find over and over that expectations count with God. Because expectation is the firstborn child of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's, if there's no expectation, do we really have faith? When we say we believe in God, we have to understand that we're not just saying that we're agreeing with this concept, this abstract idea, but instead that we are saying that we expect the things that God has said are to be. And that includes that we're saying that we are partnering with the giver of every good gift. And among those gifts, God has promised for us. He's not just promised fish, but fruitfulness and forever and eternity with Him. I like how Jesus keeps pushing Simon's boundaries. He's saying, "Leave the shore, Simon. I want us to go deep, Simon." And these statements are easy in comparison to expect to catch something, Simon, when he's been blanked the whole day, the night before. But Jesus is calling Simon to risk being disappointed by God. Think on that. Jesus is calling Simon to take a step of faith. If we come together expecting and preparing to be blessed, I think it must make God's heart happy. Because God's saying to Himself, I think they get it. I'm trustworthy. I'm faithful. I will not fail you. So trust me when I say this. Go deep. Prepare for a catch. And Simon, you know, he's like some people, because they don't catch fish, because not only do they not typically go to the deep water and they don't catch fish because they're not expecting to. But some people don't catch anything because they think they know more about everything than God. Simon almost makes this mistake. You see it in the statements that he's telling Jesus in his exasperated, tired tone that you can read. Hey, Jesus, we've already been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. We know fish. This is my occupation. I mean, the fish don't run in the day. They go hide way deeper. And aren't you just a carpenter moonlighting as a preacher anyway? You know, why are you telling me where to fish? Some people think they know more about things than God. But it also happens to us that believe, because at times it's not that we actually think we know more than God, it's just that we behave that way. We hear God's instructions when He says things like forgive a whole bunch. Bless those who curse you. Give abundantly. Visit the jails. Visit and set free the oppressed. Forget about your life and you'll have a ball. Remember the Sabbath day. It's not a day to catch up on work that you missed. It's a day to honor me. But we ignore God's invitation to abundance because we think that we have it all understood. We say to God by our actions, I know more about my marriage. I know more about healing. I know more about forgiveness. I know more about children. I know more about money than you do, God. I mean, think about it. Simon, for just a split second, almost forgot that God was God. It's at this crucial intersection that we see that we all come to this over and over, but it's at this crucial section that we see that life is decided that in Simon that he didn't know everything. But his present emptiness, his present hunger and frustration made him eager and willing to learn, even from a carpenter. He'd experienced Jesus' power before, and so does he trust Jesus in this area of his life? And the abundance of blessing that results from Simon's obedience is so overwhelming, it almost sinks two boats. So these boats return to land, and now these fishermen who have personally experienced Jesus' power return changed people. They've encountered something they've never seen before. So what do they do after this experience? They leave everything. What's interesting is this word leave is used earlier in chapter 4 when the fever leaves Peter's mother-in-law. In Isaiah, in a passage that Jesus quotes at the beginning of his ministry, it appears in the understanding of it will release the captives and set free the oppressed. The fishermen are now truly freed to live by leaving their former lives behind. People say that the net full of fish is the biggest miracle in this story. But the real miracle of this story is not the fish in the boat. It's that Simon decided that God was God and that he would live that way immediately. Just look at what Simon does here. Before the miracles begin, yet, Lord, if you say so. And it's in these words that you get this sense that Simon, at least in his heart, is saying, My frustration is real, Lord. You have to understand, my pain is real. My emptiness is real. My hunger is real. My despair is real. It's all really real, Lord. And yet, you are God, and I am not. And so he puts out to shore. And that's when our miracles really begin in our lives. That's when they begin to happen. When we start, we're going to start catching fish when we decide that God is God. When our lips and our lives agree that God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom. Simon's full net is just a consequence of that fact of obedience. And it's Simon takes hold of this incredible freedom that day and experiences joy after he comes to this new understanding that God is the maker of heaven and earth. And that he did it by himself. He didn't need any help. God put the sword in the swordfish. He put the sail in the sailfish. He put the big in the whale and the play in the dolphin. It was in him alone who put the electric in the eel. And all just because he could. What can he do with you and me? If God's big enough to handle all of those little details, what can he do with you and me when we finally come to the conclusion that we're ready to really catch fish? We find this same theme in the Gospel of John. It's the same kind of area in the passage and story of John. And he just is met with the disciples in this first encounter at the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus then asks their family and friends, you know, he says, we're going to go fish. And what do? They run, these men run to their families and they say, come and see Jesus. You see, I think this understanding in John and in Luke, where, you know, John may say, come and see Jesus, and Luke says, I'm going to have you catch people. It's the same thing. As a Christian, you have been commissioned. We have been commissioned to be evangelists, to be fisher of people. We're all called to be disciples who say to others, come and see Jesus. But you can't be an effective evangelist unless you yourself have been caught by Jesus. That you and yourself have said, you know what, Lord, all these things, but I'll do as you say. You can't be an effective evangelist unless you've come and seen Jesus for yourself. And we need to speak others, not of big theological terms. That's not necessary. We need to speak to others out of our own personal experience that we've encountered Jesus in a real way. That we can share our own personal experience of having been caught, of having come and seen the goodness and greatness of the love of God in Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, in this story, when in Jesus' words to the disciples of, you know what, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it's in this that he tells the disciples that they will become fishers of men. They didn't just instantly, but they became trained in their 3 years with Jesus in their time. And disciples are still learning to become fishermen. We here are becoming fishermen for Jesus Christ, but we as the church often make the same foolish mistakes that they did. That is, we talk a lot about fishing, but we never get around to it. We get all the equipment, we have all the stuff, but we never put out to water. We ask people to come and see the programs and the possibilities of our church rather than inviting people to see and know the presence of Jesus Christ. As a follower of Christ, you have been told that you've told God that you've put your trust in Him. If you call yourself a Christian, that's what it means. You've said, God, you've got my life. I'm going to trust in you. It's time to get rid of our excuses. It's time to push out to deep water, to learn to expect a catch, and to understand that God is God and we are not. And through that, allow us to for God to teach us to better catch men through truly living out our faith. That we would say, come and see. In other words, as some, I don't know about all that other stuff. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. The challenge is real. We need to get deep. We need to test God in this. We may think we know the answers, but if we follow God in obedience, it's amazing what He will do. That we would go deep, that we would expect a catch, and understand that God is God and we are not. We don't know more than He does. As Rosie read in Psalm 139, He knows the very innermost being of who we are. And the Holy Spirit is moving in the midst of not just His people, but His creation. That He goes before us. That if we would just be found faithful and obedient to say, God, I'll do it. It'd be amazing what God will do in and through this church. For it is not our church, it's His church anyway. Trust God in this. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, You call us into the deep where we can falter, but Lord, we also know that You've been there, that You created the deep. That if we would step out of the shallows, that You have something abundantly more for us than we could ever imagine. Lord, we're praying for a catch. It's not up to our skills, but it's up to what You're already doing in our Holy Spirit, Lord. If only we'd be found willing. God, we thank You for this day. I thank You for those that have gathered this morning. We thank You for those that couldn't, but wish they could. And Lord, we pray in for those that don't even expect it yet. That as we continue to be found faithful, the Lord, we pray that our obedience will be proven over and over through what You're already doing in the lives of those we encounter. Lord, we give You thanks. In Your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.